There's an interesting line of inquiry emerging from the last 10 years of changemaking here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. I've participated in various movements, projects, protests, and learning environments where I've looked around and observed that there has been a lot of women and felt a growing sense of curiosity around the question, where are the men? Following that question with another, how can we empower men to bring their energy to the great turning? In the work that reconnects the body of work associated with deep times, there are three stories of our time. Business as usual is the name given to the dominant civilizational narrative. The great unraveling tracks the degradation and collapse of our biological, ecological, economic, and social systems, while the great turning holds a new story for humanity as it rotates around from the industrial growth society to a life-sustaining society. It doesn't come as a huge surprise that my training cohort for the work that reconnects has a significant minority of men. The same is true in the movement modalities, ceremonies, circles, and workshops I engage with as well. I wonder if the pattern of lesser male participation is playing out in other transformational spaces. And why is it so obvious with the work that reconnects? So, working from patterns to details, I run my inquiry through the various projects that I've participated in or contributed to, all of which exist along what could be a spectrum of change. This spectrum is sometimes referred to as the rainbow of activism, which starts with hard interventionalist action, moving through more community organizing to softer, more artistic or spiritual forms. In the work that reconnects, the three dimensions to the great turning are holding actions, which seek to slow down the industrial growth society, and to buy more time for structural or systemic alternatives to emerge. Simultaneously, shifts in consciousness allow for our mental and psycho-spiritual worldview to readjust to a life of participation in and belonging to a living world. There didn't appear to be a significant dearth of males within some of the harder intervention-centered forms, such as the Extinction Rebellion or longer actions, such as Occupy Wall Street. When I recall my mentors and teachers in nonviolent direct action and other forms of civil disobedience, there is a strong male presence. So, hats off for the fellas willing to roll up their sleeves and put their lives on the line. Or is it that we have the loudest voices? Because I've seen some incredible women go to great lengths for what they believe in. The recent reclamation of ancient land at Ihu Matau was led by Indigenous women. And my reflection from the coalface was that the occupation brought to light our deepest colonial wounds and did an excellent job at shining that light peacefully for an extended period of time. The school strike for climate was an incredible feat of organizational talent and willpower, with 2,200 protest events across 125 countries worldwide. I was asked to support the school strike for climate movement and was struck by the lack of males involved. From Greta in Sweden to Zoe here in Tauranga in Aotearoa, I can confirm that colossal nonviolent action was predominantly driven by teenage women. I cast my mind further along the changemaker spectrum and undoubtedly see more women exploring new social and economic alternatives to business as usual. Mainstream avenues such as social enterprise or local community organizing are often led by wild, charismatic women acting on behalf of people and place. The once masculine heavy landscape of permaculture now has a powerful voice of knowledgeable and experienced ecofeminists, and most of my friends in environmental policy and conservation are women. In my discovery of decolonization, feminism, and living in community, I wound my way through various bodies of work. These include nonviolent communication, group facilitation, classical tantra, consensus-based decision-making, and co-housing. Most of these spaces come alive with the breath of women and are the best examples of the great turning in action I've witnessed. And yet, the pathways for men to engage seem to be missing. As I write this, I'm wary of treading on men and potentially placing women on a pedestal. This is not my intention. If anything, I'm lonely sometimes and can see a huge need for male energy in these spaces. So what might we be facing that's holding us back as men? One piece worth identifying is that men benefit from their gender-based privileges and might be less inclined to want to change the power structure that supports them, consciously or unconsciously. It's also fairly well documented that men also suffer under patriarchy, so I'll acknowledge this piece in part, but won't rush to assign the cause of this inquiry to the privilege of the individuals within patriarchy alone. Inspection leads to incomplete conclusions, while aspecting the patterns enable us to see the wider context that form the question. A systems-level perspective reveals that patriarchy is more than the sum of its parts, men holding power, and is part of a larger hierarchy of power and privilege. Mapping the direction of the wind that fills my sails as a cis hetero male of European descent, it's clear I'm navigating between multiple systemic power structures. I'm basically a Venn diagram at the nexus of patriarchy, colonization, and capitalism. I'm cautious to complain here, but finding myself in a Bermudan triangle of hidden systems of oppression is enough to set my compass spinning. I can see why many men would bury their heads in the sand at this point. The amount of emotional work is either too tough to face or too subtle to sense. In addition to this, the feminist power analysis of patriarchy has left men without an anchor to ground us in our own definition of what it means to be a man in a liberal but aggressively regulated world of progressive politics and activism. Having spent the last 5 years unlearning the numbness that came from being raised in a culture which discouraged feelings beyond joy and anger, I can understand how some men could justify not wanting to change the way things are. Our civilizational myths have an anesthetic effect on the guilt and shame associated with our settler colonial history. Being numb to nature's pain makes the inherent wrongness in capitalism bearable. Pairing these with our assigned gender roles and prescribed relationship frameworks, it's clear what is allowing us to keep the business as usual story alive. We've certainly been groomed to value ourselves in relation to our value to others, which might explain why we seem to be stuck in business as usual, or obsessed with the details of science and the spectacle of the great unraveling. Another handicap for my brothers might lie with society's focus on physical abilities, which perpetuates the power over paradigm. Pairing this with a binary lens of good and evil, the act of making change is reframed to a fight between man and his adversaries. Those safe spaces that shed new light on old tropes like man versus nature or men versus women are rare, as progressive spaces can often perpetuate these polarities by holding on to old stories as a crutch. And as the shoots of my sense ability creep courageously up through the cracks in my conditioning, my ability to feel grows too. I feel empathy for the women in my life, for the cultures that have suffered, and for the non-human beings I share this earth time with. The parallels between how women are treated and how the planet gets treated are many. While men might avoid the places where they might encounter these uncomfortable feelings, it's possible that women find solace in the shared experience. This might explain why more women are driven to show up in solidarity for Earth, represented in feminine form by many cultures, to heal their relationship with themselves and with nature. I am careful to suggest anything on anyone's behalf, but I've observed that women in my life are content with taking smaller steps and more often, to set an intention for a desired reality and whisper it into the universe isn't so passive when it's followed by sweet longing, regular rituals, and subtle strategic influences. This approach to change is consistent with the shifts in consciousness needed to bring about the great turning. It could be that our men feel they bear the responsibility of preserving business as usual. It's possible that humanity's anthropocentric delusion grips men more tightly, so we tighten our control as the great unraveling escalates. Either way, learning to become more comfortable with discomfort will be essential to shaking off these stories and taking our place in the great turning. My invitation to men is to be more in service to life and to remember our unique virtues and values. My wish would be that we can cultivate this together and support each other to contribute our privilege horizontally and share our power with. My prayer is for our deepest ecological identities to guide us on this journey. Thank you.